Are you a mum looking for some parenting inspiration, tips and advice, stories on the ups and downs we face in our lives as parents, some humour and a little bit of fun? Then you may have just found what you're looking for. Hi and welcome to the Parenting in the Thick of It show. I'm your host Louise Clark, a certified parent coach known to many as your parenting partner. As a mum to three teenagers, you can bet I've probably been there, done that, and heard it all. Trust me, there'll be few things that I haven't experienced firsthand. I created this podcast because I just love to help mums like you find ways to navigate life in the thick of it and find a way out of it. Hi, and welcome to the show today. I'm super excited to have a guest with me on the podcast. Welcome, Heidi Dallaire. Heidi is a heart-based thought leader, heart space coach, alternative health therapies practitioner and coach, intuitive healer, licensed massage therapist, registered Ayurvedic practitioner, entrepreneur and creative writer and designer, and the founder of All Things Love Wide Open. She has a website called lovewideopen.com. and a Facebook page, Love Wide Open, which now has 2.5 million followers. Heidi has so much amazing stuff on her website. She writes so beautifully. I would invite you to go over there and have a look at it. And I will put the links to all these various things in the podcast notes. She describes herself as being here to help keep the heart space open for you to be able to learn to love yourself at your own pace, to help you get out of your head and back into your heart. Hi, Heidi, welcome to the show today.
Hi, Louise and listeners. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, it's an honor to have you here. Thank you for your time. The listeners are probably thinking, so what's Heidi going to do here and help us as parents and mums and dads? But trust me, Heidi can help anybody. And I really wanted to have her on the show. And she has just published her first book called Roots and Tendrils. So Heidi, why don't you share with the listeners a little bit about your new book?
Absolutely. So Roots and Tendrils is a lyric narrative collection of poems, prose, musings, my own little thoughts that take you on a journey. They take you on a journey through life's loves, the highs of love, the lows of heartbreak, grief, loss, joy, all of those things, and then coming through fear to really sort of look at yourself and understand that you yourself need to love yourself before anyone else can, or before you can love anyone else and help them.
Yeah, it's amazing. I have read a copy of the book. Heidi sent me a PDF version of the book because I have not got my copy yet, because the books are actually going out when, Heidi? I know they've been March. On pre-sales and pre-orders.
March 22nd is the release date, so coming right up.
Today is Wednesday. Yes. We're recording this Wednesday the 20th. So that's in 2 days' time. So exciting. Yeah. And I read it's funny. I sat down and I thought, oh, I can't wait to read Heidi's book. And I sat down thinking I'd read a couple of poems and, I'd have a little browse. Honestly, 2 hours later, I was totally engrossed. I couldn't put it down. Everyone just meant so much to me, and it was better than any Netflix movie I've ever watched. I literally just binge read it. I absolutely loved it, and I believe that there's no one that this book wouldn't help. You express the lessons you've learned in life, on love, relationships, communication, nature, just to name but a few, but you do it in such a raw and vulnerable way that I think that everybody can relate to something in every single one of these poems.
Yeah, I think the moment we get really real with ourselves, like we really believe we are being vulnerable, in a way that we're still not hiding, and we can say, all right, honestly, this really is me. This really is who I am, is the moment we start to heal all of these things. That moment we look at ourselves and say, even though I'm saying I'm my authentic self, no, there's still a layer. There's still a layer I'm hiding.
There's so many layers.
Yeah, because of either worry about what someone will think or anything, that moment we become so vulnerable that you're just really raw, I think is the moment we can heal anything we've ever been through.
Mm-hmm. I would agree 100%. And I know in a couple of pieces, you refer to yourself as being an empath. In fact, I think you said a bleeding empath and an overgiver. And I think that many of the mums listening to this today will be able to relate to this, because we're so used to putting everyone before ourselves and giving of ourselves, sometimes to a point beyond what we can actually give. And it's certainly, you know, I could relate to it, you know, because as a mum, we just give, and somewhere we get lost in it all. And, you know, we forget who it is we really are. And, you know, having to be brave enough to be vulnerable, to recognize, you've got to pull back those layers and work out, you know, what's going on here? How can I get myself back into my own life, so to speak? But I know that you, on another interview, I heard you discussing this, and the idea of having a two-way valve over a one-way valve. And I loved your analogy of that with regard to bleeding, empathy and overgiving, and this valve system was, I was like, oh, that's really cool. Maybe you can share that with the listeners today.
Yeah, absolutely. So my entire life, empathic, people-pleasing, overgiving to the point where you just give yourself away, right? You think, if I just give a little bit more, someone will see me, or someone will love me more, or
the narcissists will prey on you.
The narcissists and the gaslighters who will prey on you will just maybe love me. No, it doesn't work that way. And it's taken many, many years to, you know, I always say the universe just keeps hitting me upside the head with a 2x4, like, when are you going to get this lesson? And throughout this process, I believe I have now learned this lesson that, you know, as an overgiver, we have a one-way valve only, and that's out. It's just give ourselves away, give every piece of love that we have inside of us out. And when we do that, nothing can actually come back, because it's just all out.
So true.
And until we learn to turn that valve, like, to the middle, you know, not all the way back, because all the way back means then we just take. You know, we're the opposite end of that spectrum.
Yeah, the narcissist.
When we turn that valve literally to just sort of midpoint, and it's a two-way valve of give and receive, we truly understand, like, I am worthy of all the love that I give away. I'm actually worthy of all of this, and my own self-care and my own self-respect and my own dignity. You no longer give away your power. You can stand and say, oh, middle ground is a pretty cool place. And when you're in the middle ground, I believe you can kind of see more of where there are differences, and you don't have that big end of the spectrum of the empath smashing into the narcissist anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's a, what do I even want to call it? A neutralizing of the magnet. Mm-hmm. when we have put the valve on a two-way.
Yeah, I think that is just such an amazing lesson for everyone in life, but especially, you know, there'll be mums listening going, yep, that's me. And I've never heard anyone discuss it that way, like that one-way valve. We do, that valve's turned and it just all bleeds out of us. And we don't give ourselves what we need. And when we're not getting what we need, as much as we think we're giving, we actually can't really give to meet other people's needs when we don't have our own met in the first place either. So I love that valve and being to midpoint, because it, you know, the tendency would think, well, I just need to turn it round and take, but that's not going to work either. You know, it's this fine balance. And I think as mums, it's striking that balance between, you know, the giving, of which there is lots, but making sure we receive enough so we can give. We have got something to give. We're not just running on empty with nothing in our own tanks. So what do you do to fuel yourself? Like, how do you fill your own tank?
Yeah, how I fill my own tank. Well, you know this. We know each other a little, but I fill my own tank by nature. I get out in nature. I go to the ocean as much as I possibly can. Ocean to me is a place where I can completely cleanse myself, where I can get so close to whatever you want to call it, source energy, God, whatever you want to name it, that I can get so close to that at the ocean that it really sort of recharges me.
You've got a beautiful, there's a beautiful piece in that. And I just, every line, I was like, oh, yes, yes, the ocean. Yeah.
And there's, and I write, right? That's how the book came about. I write to fuel myself. And I spend time with my friends. I spend alone time just doing what I need to do. No interruption, right? This is, I think, this when it's this actual midline, you can say, I can have healthy boundaries for myself. Mm-hmm. So no matter what else comes up on a day, actually, no, this really is my time. And not give in to then just letting the valve just So that alone time is huge and important for whatever makes you feel good, whether it's a massage, you know, just sitting in the sun, it could be anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the tendency is that, you know, people think they need to go and be doing all these, you know, indulgent, complicated things to fill our tanks and meet our needs. And, you know, the simplest thing and the tiniest thing can fill us to overflowing. You know, for me, I can look out of the window and just look at a tree or a chipmunk or a something in the distance, or just the blue, the intense blue of the sky. And for that moment, and it could be a few seconds, mm-hmm. I really realize, you know, I am that. I am that as much as that is me, and it's me as much as I'm it, and we're just all one. And it's that split second of sheer kind of bliss and contentment that just fills you more than, well, for me, more than anything else. I'm the same. The nature just really does it for me.
I have to agree, right? Like, to me, those are those little moments of bliss and happiness that actually lead to a joyful existence. Mm-hmm. There are going to be times, of course, of pain and all of that, but to be able to recognize just the blue sky, or, you know, where I am sitting right now, no one else can see it, but the eagles that will be flying back and forth over the river and just the squirrels running around, mm-hmm. It is absolute joy, because it brings us to, I think, our most innate form of, like, we just are that. We are part of that stardust, just like they are. Yep. And it connects us so much, it just fills the heart. I agree completely.
Yeah. And you also meditate. I know you meditate. And my listeners know that I meditate. You know, it is the single most powerful thing I have ever done for me in my life. And I've been doing it for about 7 years now. And, you know, it's like I brush my teeth twice a day. I meditate twice a day. It's not negotiable. It's just, it's part of my life. And for the similar reasons to, you know, tapping into nature and getting that moment, you know, it's just taking that time to be still, be silent, you know, listen to the silence, to soak up the solitude and just sit for a moment. You know, it doesn't matter how long, whether it's a minute, 15 or 40, it can be as short or as long as you want. But that time just to kind of wipe the slate clean and sit on my breath. I use my breath to anchor myself to the present moment, because I find nothing else can do it quite like that. And so I know you meditate. And what effect has meditation had on your life?
I started meditating when I was in school for Ayurveda, and it's transcendental meditation. So it's twice a day, 20 minutes, but I also ebb and flow like, mm-hmm. all right, I got a good 20 minutes this morning, this afternoon, I'm going to at least sit for two.
Yeah.
So it impacted me in a way that honestly, it allowed me probably to get deeper inside of myself and become more self-aware of my presence, not only with myself, but everything else on the planet than I had ever felt before. It allowed me to have bigger ideas, communication with people was better, my writing became better, gifts from the universe, as I call them, started coming more, because you open up to all that there is.
Yeah, I think it refines your awareness to just a different level altogether. And yes, you know, you're in your meditation, you're super aware, acutely aware of everything. But what I find is that awareness carries into my day-to-day life, and I'm just more aware generally. I'll be more aware. So when you're more aware, you notice the things that are showing up. You're more observant. So it's interesting how, you know, you think, look what the universe gave me today. Many people wouldn't see it because sometimes they're so subtle. But the more you're aware, the more you keep seeing these things, they're there all the time. It's just whether you're awake to see them.
Absolutely. Meditation is about tapping into the subtle field. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. You drop down, and it is the subtle field. It is where we all connect and where we are all of that. I just call it the wave, right? We are that, you know, on the top of the ocean, you can still see the crests of the wave. Well, when you're further down, you don't feel that. It's just stillness in the water. And to me, that's the subtle field where we get that deep and we can literally hear, see, and be aware of everything in our presence.
Yeah. It's so powerful. And, you know, I write a bit, but I've never written like anything that you've written here. But I know that even in my writing, just that awareness and that taking the time to be still and listen to silence every day and get in touch with who it is I really am. And also using nature and all the other various things, I can see it would have an incredible effect on what will actually come out in creative writing. My writing's not so creative because I write for mums and more kind of parenting advice. But I can see that it would fuel a creativity that would be just, you know, insane at times, as you have proved.
Yeah, you know, the writing process for me, I mean, as you know, like, I can write a blog that it's about, you know, the benefits of drinking warm water in the morning. Or also this creative piece, they're two different things. But in all of the poems that are in here, there is that underlying layer of nature. Mm-hmm. And I believe every single one of them somehow.
Yeah.
And most of them have come when I've either gone for a walk, or I've been sitting in nature, or I've done something in nature, or I've connected to another human being, which is also nature, mm-hmm. you know, in a way that is so profound that a writing is stirred from it.
Yeah, a writing stirred from it. Well, talking about writings that have stirred from it, there's so many amazing pieces in this book. My personal favorite is one called Life, which is about dragonflies. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, Heidi, would you be on to read that poem to the listeners today, and then maybe we can chat about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me get to that.
There were so many favorites. I was like, which one will I ask you to write? But I just, you know, being such a nature lover, this is very obviously a nature one. And I just, it resonated with me on so many levels. So read away.
Life. Today, I watched a dragonfly rest its wings on the dock. Looking through its transparent wings, I realized how precious life is. Its lifespan, so short, yet so full of vigor and vitality. People often do nothing with their lives for years, or if ever. if we were fully alive like a dragonfly, would we live differently? Would we live each second carefree and as if it were our last? Flitting about this way and that, moving quickly and then coming to a standstill while we idle for a mere moment. Zipping off quickly in a new direction, chasing after our dreams with sheer delight. We would move with no true hesitation or stop, just a pause before moving forward without fear of our demise. Excitement for what lies in our path at each turn. Excitement for the journey ahead.
Thank you. I just love that. And it also reminds me so much of a child. You know, you think of a toddler at the beach bumbling around, and they, you know, they pick up a rock and they're just all on the rock. Like there's nothing else in their lives but the rock. And then they flip to the next thing and they bumble around going from one thing to another with this awe and fascination of the present, like nothing else. And so the dragonfly also for me was very much, you know, looking at a child just bumbling through life. And I just love it. Thank you for reading that. How did that one come about? Was that, were you sitting watching dragonflies one day?
I actually was. This was, I would say now 4 years ago, this poem. And I was sitting on a dock at a friend's camp, which is about a half an hour from where I live. Beautiful sunshiny day, all by myself. And sitting out on the dock in a chair, and there are these beautiful, because it's a little bit marshy where her dock is too. And so there are blue and red dragonflies. They are spectacular and they flit about everywhere. And they just kept landing on me and on the dock. And I could not help but be mesmerized and in awe of them. And I just literally got that feeling of like, wow, what would it be like to live the life of a dragonfly? Like knowing that our life is so short, so would we waste even a minute? Would we waste even just a second of it? Or would we just run around in the present like, woohoo? Mm-hmm.
And you were so present to capture that moment. You know, there'll be other people who might sit on a dock and not even notice the dragonflies. Mm-hmm. So it was you being present that brought your awareness to their incredible presence and where your presence just became one.
Yeah. Yes. They were a true gift that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's the most beautiful piece. I absolutely love that. Love it, as I love all of them. Just one other thing quickly before we go. I know I'm in the essence of time. Mums are the queens of putting on a brave face and just soldiering on. You know, we bumble on and we just keep on going. And we often can ignore our feelings and let them bottle up inside of us. And it never feels good. And, you know, it usually has to come out somehow. And, you know, I'm sure many of your, well, obviously your deep emotions and feelings came out in your writing. Because it allows you to face your truth and gives you the opportunity to heal, as you mentioned earlier, right at the beginning in the show. But I'm often asked how we can help children become more in touch with their emotions and their feelings. And, you know, how do we, if we can't be in touch with our own and we can't sit in the present moment with our own emotions and acknowledge our feelings, how can we help our children do this? Because it's such a vitally important life skill to become competent at and not dismiss the feelings and just bottle them up, because they'll come out somehow. And I'm sure any of you mums listening, you know, if you got pent up emotions and then someone in your life does something, your child, you're more likely to react to them because of the emotions you haven't dealt with. So we react to their emotions, they react to our emotions. It just becomes this kind of emotional batting ground. So how would you advise? How do you find the best way to, you know, if you were to advise a mum who has a child, how can I help them deal with this?
Well, I think you would say the same thing. Very first of all, is just we honestly take a breath.
Yes.
before we even interact, because we are bringing our own emotions and our own past and everything into a reaction. whereas a child is literally in the present. Mm-hmm. And if we can bring ourselves to that present and just hold that space, whatever that may be, even if it's just, you know, okay, you know, don't yell at the kid. They don't even know that they're doing something wrong. It's just, this is their outlet. They have not learned yet. Like, okay, they haven't learned the horrible things we taught ourselves as we grew up, that like, oh, that emotion is wrong. Well, yeah.
All feelings are okay. Every feeling is okay.
Yeah. Isn't that just sort of now how we get it out of us? It's exactly that give them the space to let it out where it's safe for them. I think honestly providing safe space, mm-hmm. like if it happens in a group of people, get them to a safe space, mm-hmm. and just be there.
Mm-hmm. And just like in that, the line in the Dragonfly, just pause before moving forward without fear of our demise. And I think it's that taking that moment to pause and be present and move out of fear, because you know, if someone's experienced a big emotional outburst, it can create fear within us.
Yes.
And fear is a future-based emotion. So if we can tap and take that pause and tap into the present moment and just validate the child's feelings or validate your feelings. You know, if you were with me and you were upset about something, I'd be like, oh my goodness, I'd be feeling awful if that happened to me. I can totally understand why you're feeling like that. And we're brilliant at doing it, mm-hmm. with our friends and with other adults when they're in an emotional storm. But yet for some reason, when it comes to the child, that piece doesn't naturally just come out of us, and it's what everybody needs. You need to feel seen and be heard is all the time. But especially at times where we're highly emotional, they need to feel that we have their back, we're on their page. And as you say so beautifully, holding the space for them so we can help them ride that wave until it begins to move through them.
Absolutely. And we can't make it on our timeline a lot of times. You know, I had an experience with a young man this past summer where I had an emotional explosion and I could just feel like, ooh, working through stuff. So just gave him the silent space. And like 15 minutes later, I went over and I said, are you in a place where we can talk now? Right? I'm not going to push anything. Like, I want to make sure he's okay, that he doesn't feel like he has to be somewhere that I need him to be. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
We're chatting and moving through it.
And not trying to fix it in the moment. You know, because those words will just fall on deaf ears. You know, you can't fix someone in the moment. So, and we often want to because of our discomfort. You know, we want to move out of our discomfort because it's uncomfortable for us to see someone in front of us in a situation that they can't handle. And we're like, oh my God, what will we do? So we just try and fix it, move them through it. Whereas by sitting in it with them, giving them the space, validating their feelings, using empathy, they will move through it way faster than if we try to fix it, offer them solutions, and let's just get on with this. Stop crying. Come on. You don't need to cry. It's all okay. You know, it's amazing how we think that would be the quickest thing to do. But in fact, with that, just we're resisting the emotion, and what we resist will persist. It just goes on forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very wise words. Anyway, just before we wrap it up today, if any of the listeners want to find you, how can they track you down?
They can currently track me down on Facebook through either Love Wide Open or Heidi Dallaire as a Facebook page, lovewideopen.com.
There's a contact links in the podcast notes, so anyone listening can go there.
There is a contact form there, or Heidi at lovewideopen.com. You can just send me an email. And I am hoping within the next week or so, HeidiDallaire.com will also be up and running. So a couple places you can find
Fantastic.
Me.
And do you offer, I'm sure some of the listeners might be thinking, I'd love to have a conversation about a coaching session with Heidi. Do you offer coaching via Zoom, or is it only in person, local to where you are?
Well, I've done most everything local, but I have been expanding out, and we'll do Zoom or Skype, whatever works for, you know, whoever needs.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I cannot recommend this book highly enough, Roots and Tendrils. I will put the link to the Amazon.com and Amazon.ca in the podcast notes. I don't think there's anyone out there who wouldn't benefit from it in some way. But just know, if you do get it and you think, oh, I think I'll just read a poem or two from that book I got, Roots and Tendrils, and trust me, you won't be able to put it down. It's more addictive than, as I said, the best shows on Netflix. So I know you will really, really enjoy it. So thank you, Heidi. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to be with me here today and with all the listeners on my show. I'm sure that the listeners will have enjoyed listening to you as much as I have enjoyed chatting to you. And I really do appreciate your time. And I know that the advice and nuggets that you shared today will be valuable and beneficial to everybody listening in on the show. So thank you once again for being here.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here, and thank you for all that you do.
Oh, thank you, Heidi. And I'm sure we will talk soon, but thank you so much for listening, everybody. Till next time, bye for now. That's it for today's episode on the Parenting in the Thick of It show. If you enjoyed the show, please do share it with your friends and family. And remember, if you find yourself stuck in the thick of it and can't see a way out of it, please send me an email. I would love to help you. My email is louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Parenting in the Thick of It family organizer that I created. It's an evergreen family calendar, guaranteeing 12 months of use from whenever you start. It also includes beautifully illustrated, informative, and interactive monthly parenting theme pages to guide you through the year. It's the perfect organizer for busy families to keep track of all their activities, plus help parents be the best parent they can be. It's more than just a calendar. You can find the link for this and the other social media platforms that I am on below the description in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now.